The second caliph of Islam, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madaneen Channel, we welcome you once again in our new episode of our program that goes by the name of the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu an. In the last episode, we covered some of the ahadith mubarakah that Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu an has narrated, and beautiful lessons we also learned from those ahadith. Today we will continue our discussion. We'll talk about more ahadith that were narrated by Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiyallahu an, which have been mentioned in the books of ahadith, which also shows the greatness of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in some of those ahadith, and some of Shari'i rulings have also been imparted onto us through those ahadith, and some ahadith are based upon virtues of certain actions which have reached us, and all this has been conveyed to us through Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu an. May millions and millions and countless of mercies and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiyallahu an. But before we delve deeper into our topic of discussion today, let's first of all listen to a virtue of sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. A beautiful narration, dear viewers, where it is said that whoever recites salat upon me 3 times in a day and 3 times in the night, showing devotion and affection towards me, it is upon the mercy of Allah Almighty to forgive the sins he committed that day and night. Subhanallah. Again, very minimal amount of effort and such a huge reward, such a great reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. Allah Almighty is very merciful. And Allah Almighty is giving us opportunities again and again, again and again, again and again, for having our sins forgiven, for having our ranks elevated. And now we've been told in this narration that only reciting salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ 3 times during the day and 3 times during the night with love and devotion would make a person have his sins forgiven that he would have committed that day and that night. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So dear viewers, we're talking about some of the ahadith that were narrated by Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu. We covered a few ahadith in our last episode, and today we'll continue discussing about the ahadith that Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu narrated. Sayyidina Tariq bin Shihab radiyallahu anhu narrates that Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu, in fact, he says that he heard Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu say. Now this hadith is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, and this hadith also reflects and shows the greatness of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the knowledge that is given to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was stood between us, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to tell us, give us the news of the entire creation since it was created, to the extent that the people of Jannah, the people of Paradise, they entered Paradise, and the people of the Hell dwellers, they entered Hellfire. And he further says that whatever any one of us remembered, we remembered, and whatever we forgot, we forgot. Allahu Akbar. In this narration, dear viewers, we come to know of the greatness of the knowledge of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as well, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has been given the knowledge of everything. Now in this narration, Farooq Azam radiyallahu anhu is mentioning that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave the news of the entire creation since its creation until when the denizens, the dwellers of Paradise entered Paradise, and dwellers of Hell, they entered Hellfire, and whoever remembered, they remembered, and whoever forgot, they forgot. Subhanallah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given the knowledge of everything, and he also conveyed that knowledge to the Sahaba Karam Ali Muridwan, who then conveyed it to us as well, out of the knowledge that they acquired from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So this beautiful narration also reached us through Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu. Another beautiful narration, dear viewers, which is mentioned in Sahih Ibn Hibban, which highlights the significance of showing gratitude in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even upon smallest of the blessings. So Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he says that I presented myself in the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and respectfully said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, I saw so-and-so paying gratitude, and he was saying that you, meaning the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, have given him 2 dinars. To which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that, but I gave so and so between 1 to 100, but neither did he ever pay gratitude over it, nor did he mention it to anyone. And a person, he leaves my court with his need under his arm, meaning after having his need fulfilled to the extent that it is fire. Then Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu, he says that I respectfully said that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, that why do you then grant them? They don't pay gratitude over what they receive from you. They don't even mention about it. This is their state. Then why do you grant them? To which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that they don't refrain from asking, and Allah Almighty does not like stinginess in me. SubhanAllah. So many pearls of wisdom, dear viewers, that we can take from this very narration where the Prophet ﷺ is beautifully mentioning the importance of paying gratitude in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it is smallest of the blessings. And then towards the end of the narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Allah Almighty does not like stinginess in me. Now, this again shows that how evil the practice of being stingy is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like stinginess, does not like miserliness. So we should ensure that we are not stingy and we donate wholeheartedly in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the person who is generous, he's closer to Allah Almighty, he's closer to paradise, and people also like him. And the person who is stingy, he's far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's far from paradise and closer to hell, and people also detest him, people also don't like him. So we should make sure that we're not stingy and we spend wholeheartedly in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's move on to another hadith. And this hadith has been mentioned in Sunan Abu Dawud. Sayyidina Amr bin Maymun narrates that Umir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam would seek refuge from 5 things. Now we should also listen to these 5 things carefully, and we should also seek refuge from these 5 things whilst following the footsteps of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Number 1, cowardice, right? Being a coward. This is the first thing. Second, stinginess. Third is the corruption of intellect due to old age, meaning intellect not functioning properly due to old age. Number 4, the fitna, mischief of the heart, meaning seeking refuge from satanic whispers and from the thoughts of committing sins. And number 5, from the punishment of the grave. So these 5 things, dear viewers, are something that we should also seek refuge from in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, of course, when he sought refuge from these things, it was for our learning. It was for the sake of teaching us. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the heart which is embodiment of purity, Allahu Akbar. So he alayhi salatu wasalam, if he is seeking refuge from these 5 things, it is of course for the sake of teaching us. So cowardice, being covered, stinginess, corruption of intellect due to old age, fitna, the mischief of the heart, and punishment of the grave. These 5 things we should also seek refuge from in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now another hadith, again mentioned in Sunan Abu Dawud, where we also learn a Shari'i ruling as well, that once Sayyidina Farooq Azam radiallahu anhu was mounted upon his ride, and he swore an oath on the name of his father, listening to it, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to him, undoubtedly, Allah Almighty forbids you from swearing an oath on the name of your forefathers. So whenever you are in need of swearing an oath, then do so on the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, stay silent. So in this hadith, we are also taught of a shari'i ruling that whenever we are in need of swearing an oath, it should be on the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not anyone else. Another hadith mentioned in Sunan Ibn Majah, hadith number 470. Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir Juhani, he is narrating this, that Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a Muslim performs wudu properly, recites kalma-e shahadat, then all eight doors of paradise are opened for him. He may enter from whichever door he desires. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Great virtue has been mentioned in this hadith, where we've been told that after performing wudu properly, we should read kalma shahadat. And then inshallah, all eight doors will also be open for us, as is mentioned in this blessed hadith. Subhanallah. Now another hadith, which is mentioned in Ibn Majah, hadith number 735. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Suraqa Adawi is narrating that Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Faruqi Azam radiyallahu anhu said that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that the one who built a masjid for this purpose, that the dhikr of Allah Almighty is performed in it, then Allah Almighty will prepare a house for him in paradise. Subhanallah. Now, we also come to know of the excellence of building masajid, excellence of constructing masajid for the sake, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the worship of Allah is performed in there, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is performed in there. And what a great virtue there is, that Allah Almighty will build a house for him in paradise. Subhanallah. Umar Faruq radiallahu anhu, he's mentioned this hadith as well. He's the narrator of this hadith as well. And when we talk about building masajid for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one thing we need to understand, dear viewers, that it is of utmost necessity in a society for a masajid to be built. And when we build masajid with good intentions for the purpose of dhikr of Allah Almighty to take place in it, for the worship of Allah Almighty to take place in it, then inshallah Azza wa Jal will be also blessed with a house in paradise. And the question often arises that how can we also take part in this noble cause? As a layman, it is very difficult for us just to stand up and just decide that, okay, I'll build a masjid over here or in this area. But then your Dawat Islami again has made it very easy for you. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami has several departments that are serving the religious needs of this ummah. Amongst those departments, one department is Khuddamul Masajid. And Khuddamul Masajid, dear viewers, is a department that deals with the construction of masajid, madaris, and other relevant affairs that are associated with this very task. So if you want to build a masjid, Allah Almighty has given you wealth, prosperity in this world. You also want to build a masjid for isale thawab of your parents, for to convey rewards to anyone you like to, or even for your own self. So it is a means of sadqa jariya for you. Then look no further and contact Dawat-e-Islami straight away. Your Dawat-e-Islami is there to help you in this regard. We have many projects, ongoing projects, where alhamdulillah, where masajid are being built, madaris are being built, and your investment is being used in the light of Quran and Hadith. Alhamdulillah, every single penny is spent according to Sharia. So this narration that we've covered, we've learnt in this narration that whoever builds a masjid with the intention that Allah's zikr will be performed in it, Allah will prepare a house for him in paradise. So with these intentions, support your Dawat-e-Islami, help your Dawat-e-Islami, donate to Dawat-e-Islami, so Dawat-e-Islami can build masjid on your behalf, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. There will be Madini kaflas in there, there will be the teaching of Quran in there, salah will be offered over there, dhikr of Allah Almighty will be performed over there, and many other religious tasks will take place in there, and inshaAllah Azza wa Jal, this all will be a means of sadqa jariya for you. Carrying further, dear viewers, another beautiful hadith again mentioned in Ibn Majah, hadith number 798. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu is narrating this hadith, who says that Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Faruq Azam radiyallahu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that the person who offers Isha Salah for 40 nights in such a manner that his first rak'ah is not missed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes freedom from hell for him. Subhanallah. Again, such a great virtue on the importance of salah, on the importance of offering salah with jama'ah in congregation. So the individual who offers his Isha Salah for 40 nights in such a manner that his first rak'at is not missed, there is freedom from hellfire written for him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, another beautiful hadith mentioned in Ibn Majah, hadith number 1441. And Sayyidina Maimun bin Mihran is narrating this hadith, who says that Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Faruq Azam radiyallahu anhu narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, O Umar, whenever you go to any ill person, then say to him that he should make dua for you, because the dua of an ill person is like the dua of the angels. Allahu Akbar. Now, in this narration, we come to know of the importance of inquiring after the ill. And also, when we go to inquire after their health, what should our conduct be and what should we ask them for? We should ask them to make dua for us, for the well-being of this world and for the well-being of the hereafter. As the dua of an ill person is like the dua of angels. This is how beautifully the importance of inquiring after an ill person has been highlighted in this hadith, which again Amir al-Mu'mineen Faruq Azam radiyallahu anhu was the medium through whom this hadith reached us. Now, the slave of the third caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, whose name was Sayyidina Farrukh rahmatullah alayh. Now, he narrates from Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar Faruq Azam radiyallahu anhu that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said that the person who holds up food provisions, who piles up food provisions in order to harm Muslims, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inflict him with leprosy and destitution. Again, a very admonitory hadith where we come to know of the importance of making sure that we don't harm our Muslim brothers and sisters. And on the other hand, if we do so, what is the consequences of this? We've just covered in this hadith. Now, this hadith, dear viewers, mentioned in Jami Tirmizi, hadith number 2351. In this hadith, we come to know of the importance of tawakkul, of relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being ensured of being given sustenance. So Sayyidina Abu Tamim Jayshani, rahmatullah alayh, he narrates from Amir al-Mu'mineen Faruq Azam radiyallahu anhu, who says that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He Azza wa Jal is meant to be relied upon, then He Almighty will provide you with sustenance in the same way as He provides sustenance to the birds. As they leave in the morning hungry and thirsty, but when they return in the evening, they are full. Their hunger and their thirst is quenched. Their hunger and thirst is no more, as they are provided with food by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is very important, dear viewers, that we have full reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we have to work towards the means, the worldly means, that is very, very important for us. But the reliance shouldn't be upon worldly means. The reliance should be upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah Almighty will bring barakah, blessings, in those apparent means as well. Another hadith, subhanallah, where Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, he is mentioning from his beloved father, Faruq Azam radiyallahu anhu, who narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when any one of you comes to offer Jum'ah Salah, then he should perform ghusl. He should perform a bath. Now, alhamdulillah, majority of us offer Jum'ah. So whenever we do so, we should make sure that we perform ghusl when we go to perform Jum'ah Salah. Another hadith, Sayyidina Malik bin Aus, rahmatullah alayh, narrates from Sayyidina Faruq Azam radiyallahu anhu, who said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that us, the prophets, do not have inheritance, meaning we do not leave behind inheritance. Whatever we leave behind, that is sadaqah. Now, on normal terms, when ordinary people, they pass away, then whatever leftover wealth they have, that will be distributed amongst their heirs as inheritance. But the prophets, the messengers, whatever they left behind, that is not inheritance. That will be sadaqah for other people. Now there's another hadith, Tavius, which mentions a beautiful action, a beautiful amal, a beautiful practice that we should perform, and we will have our ranks elevated manifold. Sayyiduna Salim bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu narrates from Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyiduna Faruq Azam radiyallahu anhu that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the person who goes to a marketplace where buying and selling takes place, and he says this, he reads this, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu yuhyi wa yumitu wa huwa hayyun la yamutu bi yadihil khair wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes 10 million good deeds for him and erases 10 million sins for him, and Allah Almighty prepares one house for him in paradise. Subhanallah. Again, dear viewers, such a great reward for such a small action. We often do visit marketplaces. We have to go to markets. But what we have to do over there? Recite the fourth kalima. And what would be the reward? 10 million good deeds for you. 10 million sins erased for you. And there will be a house prepared for you in paradise. Allahu Akbar. Now, dear viewers, another hadith, which is a very admonitory hadith, and we should take great heed from this hadith. Sayyidina Uthman Nahdi rahmatullah alayhi narrates from Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyiduna Faruq Azam radiyallahu anhu, who says that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I fear such hypocrite people on my ummah who would utter statements of great wisdom and intellect, but their deeds will be of sinners and transgressors. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers, this is a hadith that we all need to take heed from. Great admonitory hadith where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioning about those hypocrites whom he fears in his ummah, who will talk such statements which will be of great wisdom, of great intellect, but their actions will be of fasiqoon, of sinners, of transgressors. So we need to reflect upon our state as well, whether our actions are in accordance with our statements, and vice versa. If we are propagating Islam, or if we are telling other people to be good, then what exactly our state is. So we should make sure that our saying and the practical state, they both coincide with each other. Now let's listen to another beautiful hadith that Faruq Azam radiyallahu anhu narrated, and this is a great hadith which reflects the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyiduna Sa'id bin Musayyib radiyallahu anhu narrates that Amirul Mu'mineen Faruq Azam radiyallahu anhu said that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam say, the one who performs the dhikr of Allah Almighty in Ramadan al-Kareem, he is forgiven. And whoever asks for anything in Ramadan al-Kareem, he is not returned back empty-handed. Allahu Akbar. So this is the beauty of the blessed month of Ramadan al-Kareem, dear viewers. And he who performs the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during Ramadan al-Kareem, he is forgiven. Whoever asks for anything during Ramadan al-Kareem, he is not returned empty-handed. And it is a great, great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the month of Ramadan al-Kareem approaches, and when we get to see, we enter the month of Ramadan al-Kareem. So we should also make sure that we don't waste the precious moments of Ramadan al-Kareem in laziness. And we should make sure that we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as we can in Ramadan al-Kareem. We should ask and supplicate for our lawful desires in Ramadan al-Kareem. Insha'Allah azza wa jal, we will attain prosperity and success in this world and in the hereafter. Another hadith, which is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Uthman rahmatullah alayhi, who says that Amirul Mu'mineen Faruq Azam radiyallahu anhu said that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when two Muslims meet and shake hands with each other, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 100 mercies upon them. 90 mercies are for the one who is first in saying salam, and 10 mercies are for the one who is second in saying salam. Allahu Akbar. So we see, dear viewers, that how important it is for us to be first in saying salam. If you want to earn more reward, then be first in saying salam. And we should also make sure that we make a habit of saying salam rather than other phrases. We should be used to saying salam, and we should be first in saying salam. And in case the other person, he exceeded us, he surpassed us in saying salam, then at least reply back. So at least we can get 10 mercies as a least number of mercies in this very case. But try to be the first in saying salam in order to get 90 mercies out of 100 mercies from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last hadith that we will talk about in today's episode is mentioned by Sayyidina Zaid bin Muhab rahmatullah alayhi, who says, Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu said that when three people travel, then they should appoint one out of those three people as a leader, as their head, as their nigran, as beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam have commanded for this. So dear viewers, again, we've come to know that when there are more than two people who travel, three people are traveling, so we are commanded to make one of them our leader, our guide, or whatever term you want to place it as, that he should be our leader, as this is commanded by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So dear viewers, we've covered some of the ahadith, a few ahadith, beautiful ahadith that were narrated by Sayyidina Umar Faruq Azam radiallahu an, and we've also covered some of the beautiful lessons that we can derive from these ahadith. So we've sort of concluded our topic of Ilmul Hadith of Faruq Azam radiallahu an. There's so much to discuss, dear viewers, but of course the time doesn't permit us, and there's a lot more to discuss about the personality of Faruq Azam radiallahu an. But the whole purpose was to get an understanding of the great expertise that Sayyidina Faruq Azam radiallahu an had in different branches of knowledge, and what great personality he was, what great scholarly, brilliant individual he was, and what great favors he has done upon the Ummah. We've covered various different branches of knowledge where we saw that Faruq Azam radiallahu an was indeed the leader, the imam in that very branch of knowledge as well. Whether it was the knowledge of tafsir of Quran, whether it was the knowledge of hadith, whether it was the knowledge of usul al-fiqh, whether it was the knowledge of kashf, whether it was the knowledge of poetry, knowledge of writing, knowledge of speech, knowledge of khutbah, sermonizing, whichever field, the branch of knowledge we covered, we saw Faruq Azam radiallahu anhu to be an expert in it, and beautifully he imparted that knowledge ahead to the Ummah as well. We pray to Allah Almighty that may Allah Almighty shower His countless mercies and blessings upon the second Caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, and may Allah Almighty forgive us all without accountability for His sake. Ameen. مجاهي خاتم النبيين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
The second caliph of Islam, عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه.